Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning I want to share with you, it's a baptism message. And I don't want you to, those of you who've been around, and you're like, oh, I know all about baptism, and you turn this off. Leave it open today. Let God speak something to you. I got a question for you, kind of as we start this. Have you ever found it difficult to change your mindset? Yeah, some of you answer out loud. I love that. Yeah, and some of you are now pointing at someone. That's not good. Listen, change your mindset, especially about like a core understanding that you feel you have. Whether it's something that you were taught or something that you caught by being around it, growing up or in your life, or some experience that you made some deductions about. I'll tell you what, changing your mindset, It's a very difficult thing. And I don't want to say a dirty word to some of you, but, you know, the psychologists, okay, some of you are like, oh, no, please, only read from the Scripture. We will, okay? But there are things that there's been some knowledge and observations that seem to be generally true through time that we should pay attention to. Doesn't mean it's 100% pure truth. But there are some indications and studying and things that have happened. So, you know, we're not totally afraid of education, though we equate it to what's going on in the education, maybe from your view in the world, and you think it's all bad. Listen, psychologists call this, when we have difficulty changing our mindset, it's called a growth zone. And we can grasp that. We can understand why that would be the case. There's many reasons why you and I find it difficult to change our mind about something. And especially when we encounter some measure of discomfort or distress in our life, what happens for us generally as we get older, because now we have a history, is old stories pop up. We go through some kind of distress or discomfort or is anything that kind of bumps up against our views on whatever, old stories pop up that we experienced or that we were taught somewhere, and it pops up, and what it does is it really begins to limit us because we like to hold to what we have as our own view. We hold that. It's a tendency that we seem to have. It's familiar. We look at an experience that we have deducted our reasoning from, and so if something pops up, those old or something new comes, that pops up, and now it limits us from believing something different. It limits us in changing a mindset, and we get to this growth zone, and that is where we talk ourselves out of doing something or believing something different. And the root that lies behind this is we have this assumption that we don't really know how to handle what we would feel if we changed our minds. And so we cling to what we have known, what we have reasoned, or what we have been taught that we've had going on all our life. Listen, it's a difficult thing. Listen, it's, say this with me, tough to admit I'm wrong. Because when we feel, if we change our mind about something, it is tough to put our mind around and feel the things we might feel if we admit we were wrong and how long we believed what we did that was wrong. Here's the other part to that. We look back and say, if I change my mind about a core value, a view I have, What does that say about me? What does that say about the people who taught me? Somewhere, teacher, parent. Some of you have watched go through a similar struggle like this because the church or denomination or fellowship that you were raised in, you no longer are a part of, but your family is. And you have felt the conflict. You felt maybe even pressure. How could you change? How could you do this? They get very upset. And it's a difficult thing to go through, but we can do that on a personal level as we have all of these things that go along, these feelings. If we change our mindset about something and we no longer agree with who we were or what we thought or the people that we run with or have relationship with. I remember when I was running around with some buddies doing things that we shouldn't, that I knew better. I know you're like, oh, tell us, what were they? It was sin. I lived outside God's plan and direction. Okay? Sin is dark. I don't care what it is. And we all have a history and a past. We all need a Savior. Okay? Now, don't let your mind run wild and start spreading rumors. Our pastor used to. Okay? Not here to justify the limit to what sin I did, and I didn't do the gross stuff. Listen, it's all an offense to God. We all need His blood to wash us. But I remember, and when I disconnected friendship with these guys, that was sending a message that I was wrong, I can't do that. And I didn't tell them this, but the message comes through loud and clear that I don't agree with what we were doing, and I'm changing, I'm turning, I'm returning. And it sends a message to them that what they're doing, I now think is wrong. I'd have to say it, but it sends that message. And changing our mindset is a very difficult thing for us personally, but we attach all of these other things that go along with it. It is a hard thing. It's a difficult thing to change our mind because when we change our mind, now what? We're accountable to live under this better, greater, more understanding truth that we gain. You see, the reason I'm going through all this is what baptism of repentance is about. If we were to look at the predominant two challenges, one is for us when we hear the truth or something different than what we believe, it's called belief perseverance. And what that means is that even though evidence shows up that proves what we have believed is wrong, we still hold to our former belief, even in light of evidence. Second challenge that goes along with it, it's called confirmation bias. It means when something comes along, we manipulate our interpretation of it so it fits our existing view. Some of the things that we do with, we don't know the titles and think about the titles and think, oh, well, I'm doing this. It's just what goes on in this inner battle in us. So when we think about baptism, repentance, we think about the New Testament. We think about John the Baptist. We may think about other scriptures that say baptism. And I want you to know the Greek word, okay, that's used in the New Testament concerning baptism is connected to the word repentance. Say it, repentance. The Greek word is metanoia, and it really means this, repentance. It means to change one's mindset. That's what it means. Repentance Because that's what baptism is about. It's not just about going in the water and coming out and saying, I identify with Jesus now, or I have faith in God and I can go on and just live my life. I got baptized. Baptism is always, hear this, always connected to repentance, to change a mind. We change our mind from what we thought, what we believed, what we held to, what we were trained for. We change our mindset. In the context of the gospel, we change our mindset to now believe upon Jesus Christ, his word, his teaching, his way. That's a major mindset change. And people have a hard time with it. We can be challenged with it. Here's the beauty of God. He can give us the new layout, the new way to think. And we have a will. And it's beautiful he gives us a choice. But along with that direction, his Holy Spirit, God loves you so much, loves us so much, that his Holy Spirit comes now to woo us, to draw us, to reveal to us, to do an inner working about this mindset struggle that we face. That's God's kindness to us. You see, it's not, with God, it's not just about changing conduct. Hear this. We think when we become a Christian, now these are all the things I have to do and all the things I don't do. And we focus on trying to do the checklist. Now, conduct is important. We change our conduct. But I want you to know that really what needs to happen when we come to Christ is this whole repentance and belief upon him becomes a heart issue. To partner with the new mindset. Because conduct, all of us can change conduct, right? You may have done it this morning. Come in here. You're acting one way all week long, but you came into church. I have to change my conduct. I can't use four-letter words in here like snow. To watch my conduct. And it's okay. It's not wrong. But when our heart changes, we become someone different. See, in Christ, we become a new creation. That has to do with behavior. We use those words interchangeably, but they're not the same. Behavior is an operating system that exists in us. And that system has to be changed. Our system has to be crucified, and now Christ in us is a new system. And because of that new way of thinking, the new mindset, that new behavior transitions to and begins to direct our conduct. Otherwise, we could just change the outside conduct and never have our behavior, our operating system, our heart, our mindset ever really changed. That's what has to happen in us to become a follower of Christ. So when it comes to this word repentance, it has to do with a change of mind. Now, in Hebrew, the Old Testament, they use the word repentance also. Okay? It's teshuvah. And what that means in Hebrew is to return. So when we think of repentance, it's about a changed mindset. So we begin to, behaviorally, and then conduct is the fruit of that, we begin to go a different direction. We turn. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, you have to remember, in the Old Testament, evangelizing, spreading the word of God outside of the Hebrew people, it wasn't really an emphasis. Now, could someone else become Jewish through a process? Yes. But by and large, the Old Testament wasn't about evangelism. We're so used to the New Testament, evangelism, and I'll touch on that in a second, but the Old Testament had to do with God's people, what they went through, when they obeyed, when they operated in faith, when they disobeyed. And so repentance had everything to do with the Hebrew people. And that's why this word says return, because they were raised as God's people. The truth was proclaimed to them. Their history that they could look at of God's faithfulness and all that God did for God's people. And if they wandered from that truth, they needed to repent. And that's why the word means to return. To return to the faith. Return to God. In the New Testament, we see places like Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." All others. See, in the New Testament, we see Jesus who came for the lost sheep of Israel, but he took time for everybody. We see in the book of Acts that the gospel was now received by the Gentiles too, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit's power. We see this in the book of Acts. So now this emphasis where Jesus says in Matthew 28, 19, he tells his disciples, he says, "Go therefore into all nations, making disciples, teaching them, instructing them, modeling this to them, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Go, spread the word to all nations, all people, that they would repent and be baptized. It's connected. Repentance and baptism are connected. And so we look this morning, in a moment, you will see people come up here. And they're going to be water baptized. But the reason they're being water baptized is because they have repented. They've changed their mindset to follow Christ. Repentance, yes, it's about some remorse. It's about confessing our sin, but it's about changing our mind. This isn't about just saying, "God, I'm sorry. I want to feel better. Forgive me. And now I want to return to my life." This is about, "God, I feel a very deep conviction that I need to change my mindset. And so forgive me of what I've done wrong and help me now follow you, to think like you." It is why Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, when you come to Christ, don't follow the patterns of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We do baptism as a result of a mindset, a repentance, that the old man dies, goes into a grave. That's why we do immersion. And we come out. It's a symbolic thing of a new life and a new mindset. A behavioral operating system has changed. You see, you have to understand, this is one of the reasons that we don't baptize infants. Now, that might offend you because you were baptized as an infant. Well, just hold on. So was I. And I had to go through a mindset change. And I'm thankful that my parents took me and expressed faith, and I was sprinkled with water, and that I wore that lovely white gown once. I'm thankful. But there was a point in my life in spiritual development where my faith had to become my own. And at that point, I discovered I need to repent. I need a mindset change on my own. And I need forgiveness, a mindset change. Repent. And so I will be baptized. And the old me will die. And the new me, the resurrection of Christ, there's a new life in him. And now I'm to follow him. So if you were sprinkled as a baby, don't be offended. Please. We just have to come to a place where we repent and have a mindset change, which leads us to baptism. Repent and be baptized. Jesus said, go make disciples. Baptize them. You look at other places in the scripture. John was out there eating grasshoppers and wearing furry garments, and he preached the message of repentance unto baptism. Watch this. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A message of repentance connected to baptism. Let's look here, lastly, in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 2, the day of the Holy Spirit, as we know, being poured out. And we get down to verse 37 and 38. Now, I have to give you a little bit of a backdrop here. Holy Spirit's poured out. Some marvelous demonstrations of God's Spirit came upon the believers who were praying. There were some physical evidences that took place that people around gathered and said, what does this mean? How come people are speaking my native language and yet they're Galileans? They don't know my language and they're declaring the power of God. You can read Acts chapter 2. I encourage you to do it. In fact, if you're going to do that, read Acts 1 and 2. And in Acts chapter 2, then Peter gets up and explains this. And he preaches the message of Jesus crucified and faith in him and salvation. And he goes through some history and he preaches. And then there's this phenomenon, this manifestation of God's Holy Spirit power that baptized some people who believed. And others were witnessing it. And after Peter preached, this is what they said. This is so powerful. Listen to this. Now, when they heard this sermon from Peter, they were cut to the heart, convicted, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? They heard the message of the gospel. It confronted them. It confronted their view and mindset for life. And they said, what do we do? And he answers them. Listen to the answer. Okay. And Peter said to them, repent. Turn. Change your mindset. Repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ, every one of you, in his name, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that promise is for you and all the people who are in the future to come. That's us. So I want you to understand, as you see people baptized today, it's about repentance. It's not about I'm doing some religious obligation. I'm not just going up here and getting wet. This is a result of my faith in Christ. I've had a change of mind about how to live and who to follow. Regardless of my view, what I was taught, I'm going to follow him. And so the old life, the old operating system, the old behavior goes to the grave. And the conducts follow. And we're raised new in the resurrection of Jesus Christ with new life, born again of the Spirit. Fresh start with a whole new operating system, whole new behavioral system, and the conduct begins to follow. You might think, well, if it's about repentance, why was Jesus baptized? Because he had no sin. There's probably a handful of reasons, but I'm going to share with you a couple so that you don't trip over that this morning. One reason that Jesus was baptized by water was that he wanted to send a message to everyone that he approved of the message that John the Baptist preached. Repent. Turn to God. Change your mindset. Follow after him. And Jesus came to fulfill the law. So he came showing that he approved of the message and the baptism that John was doing. The other part is, Jesus came to identify with humanity. Aren't you glad that he came and spent time with tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners? He didn't do what they did, but he came to be with them and rescue them, to identify with them. He came from heaven and put on human flesh because you matter. You matter to him. And he wants you to know that he's not calling it from the cheap seats. He put your sandals on and walked among us because he cared. And the other part is, if you know when Jesus was water baptized, a dove descended upon him powerfully, and a voice came from heaven. This is my son, who I am well pleased. There was a moment why Jesus got baptized where there was an acknowledgement that Jesus is God's son. So these are reasons that Jesus was baptized, and his personal sin had nothing to do with it because he didn't have any until he hung on a cross and took ours.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.